This is Sheila Q from DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Boy, it's already been a couple of years now since Rick Rees was here in studio with us at CJMQ celebrating the release of Rick Rees and Neon Highway's album, Mama Raised a Good Boy. I wish, listeners, that I was speaking to Rick for any other reason than why we're actually speaking today. Unfortunately, over the course of this last weekend, the band has lost a member. Their very beloved bass player, Pete, was killed in a motorcycle accident, and the community is deeply mourning his loss right now. On the line with me, as we speak, is Rick Rees himself. Rick, you know, I know this is a tough time for you, and I really do appreciate that you are taking the time to speak to the fans and listeners and Pete's family as well, concerning what you guys are experiencing.
Yeah, hi Sheila, how you doing? For sure. It's been the ultimate roller coaster, I guess, is the best way to put it. And within 12 hours, I mean, we're on our absolute ultimate high and quickly brought it down to the ultimate low that I've ever experienced in, you know, a matter of 12 hours. And what I mean by that is we just finished playing a show at Cavendish Beach Music Festival in Prince Edward Island.
Yes.
The largest country stage in, probably east of Montreal. And,
I'm sure.
60,000 people in attendance, and we were on stage a few bands prior to Toby Keith and Eric Church. So we had the pleasure of opening for those gentlemen and meeting them and whatnot. And Pete always said, you know, we played there last year on the secondary stage, and after our show and performance, we had a ton of fans approach us and said, you know, you guys should be on the main stage. And Pete kind of slapped me on the shoulder and said, you know something? Next year we're going to be there. I guarantee you. So we were. We hit that main stage, and when we got off, there was a lineup of, you know, a few hundred people for photos and autographs and whatnot. And again, you know, Pete slaps me on the shoulder and says, you know, that's what I'm talking about. See, it's coming right along. You know, this. I told you we'd be here, bro, you know. And when the photographs, you know, the next band got on, which was... I believe Eric, when the next band got on, things kind of calmed down, and Pete said, you know, it's nice, still nice out, and I think I'm going to, you know, our job here is done. I'm going to get on my bike and ride, and he's you know, an avid Harley rider, so it was his way of continuing his glory. He's like, you know, I'm going to go for a nice cruise, take my time, cross the Confederation Bridge into New Brunswick, maybe stop and visit a few friends, and one of the venues that we frequently play at, him and I, as an acoustic duo. So he wanted to kind of come back and you know, like big homecoming, right? Like the Beatles have arrived in New York City kind of thing. So I know that's what he's looking for. He wants to continue the feel of the glory, and he did. And when he got to that venue, apparently it lit up, and there was, like, you know, everybody got up, standing ovation, and it's just such a family community at this bar that we play at. And then later on, you know, he was on his motorcycle, and because of scheduling, the drummer took his car, and my guitar player and I in another vehicle. So we all kind of went separate ways. We said, you know, to each other, we'll see everybody in the morning. Everybody drives carefully on the way home. It was, you know, only a 3-hour drive back from the Cavendish concert back home. And so we all kind of went our separate ways and made our way back, and we were going to, as we usually do, call each other, get together maybe in the studio, and, you know, run over some tunes and plan the next show, which is upcoming with Doc Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to plan the next show and call each other, but I didn't have time to do that because I checked voicemail, and, you know, I had like 27 missed calls and all kinds of strange text messages from numbers that I didn't know. And when I checked the first one, the first one was all it took, and I got the news. So we didn't even have time to, you know, reap the benefit and kind of enjoy the moment of the big show. But not to take away from that, I still want to kind of celebrate the fact that it was Pete's big mission to play that stage, and he and I, you know, been together for 8 years, and played a number of, you know, benefits and small bars, and, you know, almost right down to with the guitar case open on the street corner. You know,
yeah.
In Pete's word, give me a gig, he'll play anywhere, anytime for any amount of money. So this was his big one, and he drove off into the sunset. So mission accomplished.
So I hear there'll be spurs in the halls of heaven.
You know something? Yeah. Pete was well known for probably being the only musician in the East Coast Music Association that when Pete was a rocker all his life, and when he joined with me, you know, I brought him to the countryside, to the good side, some might say, and he wanted to equip himself. He's like, I'm gonna get a set of spurs, and Pete was a very kind of what a character, I'm telling you. And so it was handy for me, because when I was looking for him, you know, in a club, or when it was time to go back on, I'd hear the spurs coming, so okay, Pete's coming back, it's time to start the next set. So he was wearing spurs, and everybody knew that he would wear actual stainless steel custom spurs on his boots. And man, there's a track on the album called Old Black Train, and it starts off with the footsteps walking on a hardwood floor, and I think you might have heard that track, I think.
Absolutely.
And when we were recording that album, we just thought it was kind of a cool thing. You hear this, you know, the cowboy boots kind of scuffle along the floor, and, you know, the door closes, and then the music starts. And I asked him, I said, well, do you think it's kind of corny that we put that on the album or not? And he goes, no, it's cool. It gives you that kind of Wild West feeling.
Yeah. And
who knew that, you know, most of the band members and I think even the producer was like, well, we don't want anything corny on the record. Pete's like, no. So he was the guy that was you know, adamant, and he fought for it. And now when I listen to the track, it's like, I can't help but think that, you know, that sound is, you know, the sound of Pete Spurs kind of thing.
Well, you know, it's that, those things that represent someone for us, you know, those sights and sounds and those parts of our memory that we'll never lose. It becomes part of our history too.
Yeah, for sure. And funny how things turn, and funny how things, you know, kind of roll out for you. So we've had, you know, radio stations like yourself offering, you know, to air the story, and other stations who knew about the track, and some stations who didn't say, you know, do you have a song? Do you want to dedicate to Pete? So suddenly in the last 12 hours or so, from an album that's been out for about a year and a half, Old Black Train has become Pete King's song.
Yeah.
And the arrangements are tomorrow morning with visitation between 9 and 2 a.m. New Brunswick time, with a service at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of radio stations, country stations, and variety stations across the country that have emailed me, and they're picking up the song, and they're all going to play it somewhat simultaneously around 2 p.m. tomorrow during Pete's Mass. So, Old Black Train.
My goodness. Oh, Rick, you know, really from the bottom of our hearts here in the Eastern Townships, the CJMQ community, we just would like to offer our deepest sympathies to the whole Neon Highway family and to Pete King's people. You know, that it's what a tragic way to lose somebody. Now, I realized that of all ways that someone can go, having accomplished something that was such a big dream and something that maybe seemed out of reach even at some point, but he seemed determined that it would occur. Well, I'd have to say that's a life very well lived.
Absolutely. And you know, there was some younger artists on site that day, and one was a little gal. She was 9 years old, and Pete was kind of the, I don't want to call him the rough and tough cowboy biker, but he was just a free spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, the day of the concert, Pete. I don't know if I'm looking back at this and it's all correlation, or maybe just, you know, I'm looking at it as it was an omen or was it not, but Pete suddenly seemed like he became spiritual on Sunday, and he says to the little girl, you know, reach for the stars and you'll become one. That wasn't the way Pete would speak. Pete would be like, you know, strap on your cowboy boots and let's just, you know, rock and roll. And yeah. But that day, he's like, reach for the stars and you'll become one. And he became very articulate. And I'm looking at him going, what did you do with the bass player, man? You know, like, and he had his trademark black leather cowboy hat that he never took off. And here's a funny story: that into the crew of 200-300 people coming over for photos, there was a guy came over and said to Pete, the next guy in line that took his photo with us, he said, "Man, I watch your performance. You are an amazing bass player." And Pete says, "Oh, that's something, man. I appreciate that." And Pete took off his trademark black cowboy hat and swapped hats with the other fella.
No way.
For the photo. And he looked at him. He says, "Now, this is going to be a rare photo."
Oh, my goodness.
And for a millisecond, I look over at Pete and, you process it so quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking to myself, you never take that off. And I just kind of chuckled to myself. And then the flash went off and the next person came for their photo and we all shook the guy's hand. But...
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the funny thing is he said to that guy, he said, "Now, this is going to be a rare photo. I've had chicks 10 times hotter than you ask me for my hat, and I don't give it to them."
Oh, man. My goodness. Well, rest in peace, Pete
yeah.
King. Amazing East Coast bass player. Now playing bass and clicking those spurs in the
yeah.
halls of heaven. Our hearts just go out to all of you, Rick. And thank you so much for contacting us. It's really the least we can do to tell Pete's story.
Well, we appreciate it for sure. And as always, with all of your support, and especially in this case, and if anybody tunes in to CMT, CMT is just dedicated the initial airing of the 2011 East Coast Music Awards that will air on CMT on July 31st, and the entire program is dedicated to the life and memory of Pete King.
My goodness. Oh, well, I'm just so pleased that people are thinking of, people are honoring his talent and the way that he was. Well, thank you so much, Rick Reese. And the next time we speak, it'll be on happier terms, I'm sure. And continued success to you, and we'll be speaking soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks now. Talk to you soon.